Larry Perotti, along with Nick Perotti, as we bring on our guest, Cody Rourke, host of the Locked on Broncos podcast. Cody, nice to have you back on Wyoming Sports Talk today. We'll get right into the meat and potatoes of our discussion with you. Before we talk, in my case, before I talk about the new brass, I want to take a look, even though it was a 6-10 season for the Broncos, but I have to throw some kudos out to the hierarchy of the Broncos. Bradley Chubb, Cortland Sutton, undrafted Philip Lindsay, all played prominent roles for this team that was well under the Mendoza line this season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think any one of us really had expected earlier on in the year, you know, right from the onset, that guys like Cortland Sutton and them would be contributing right away. Deshaun Hamilton, another guy, for example. Even Isaac Yiadom, we got to see a little bit of him towards the end of the year. You know, I was able to be at, you know, training camp, be up close and personal with the team, and I just knew, based on watching these guys in practice, you know, these guys, you know, if you look at Cortland Sutton in person compared to Demaryius Thomas, who's no longer on the team, he was bigger than Demaryius Thomas, and that's a hard kind of feat to say because he's definitely that type of guy we saw. You throw him the ball up in the air, he's going to go make a play on it. But, yeah, you know, Philip Lindsay coming out of nowhere. Even Royce Freeman at the beginning of the year before he had that high ankle sprain was rolling, and the Broncos' rushing attack was pretty efficient. Now, unfortunately, he, you know, experienced that injury. I don't think he was the same guy the rest of the way. We saw bits and pieces of it. But, you know, I definitely, you know, Broncos brass in this last draft, you know, it was graded as an A draft. I know we had talked about it after the draft. And really, it kind of came to fruition this year with the result on the field, despite a 6-10 season.
The question for me is, let's tip our cap to the Broncos. They had a fairly decent draft over the last couple of seasons. Let's look at 2019 here in April. Again, I'm going to ask you to dust off the crystal ball there. And we were talking about this athlete last hour. Since he got drafted in the first round by the Athletics, I guess the question would be, by the time the Broncos pick, and it's not a quarterback need type of draft this year, but again, you don't leave a kid like Kyle Murray on the shelf. Is he available for the Broncos in the first round?
You know, I don't think he makes it past – I don't think he makes it to number 10. He's definitely a prolific athlete. Let's talk about the quarterback clash real quick here. Dwayne Haskins declared, and in my mind at that point, we were expecting Justin Herbert to as well. He's decided to stay at Oregon. Dwayne Haskins right now and Kyler Murray, they're the top two quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft. Those guys are going to go in the first, you know, before the Broncos are even able to pick. Where they go to right now, that's kind of in question. You can see New York Giants trying to get another guy for the future when Eli Manning retires. You can see the Jaguars going in with a Dwayne Haskins type pick as well, and who knows what Arizona is going to do at that number one pick. They could end up trading that pick. But, you know, as of right now, it's unlikely they part ways with, you know, Josh Rosen. I mean, it would be completely senseless to abandon a rookie quarterback after one season, you know, for another rookie quarterback at number one. I know a lot of people wanted to link Cliff Kingsbury's comments to what he said when he was a coach over at Texas Tech. So I think overall when the Broncos are at 10, I think the Broncos go quarterback. I just don't think it's going to be Kyler Murray.
Do you foresee, at least in that April draft of the Denver Broncos, and as you mentioned with the, at least Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers right there at two, could be teams that trade up. Is it possible that the Denver Broncos could be aggressive and try to trade with those teams to possibly pick up a Kyler Murray, or are they going to just be happy at number 10 in the draft?
You know, I think that's a great point. And you mentioned a very specific term in your statement there. You said aggressive, and the Broncos are going to have a very aggressive approach to free agency and the draft. So I wouldn't be surprised if they traded up a little bit, maybe a few spots in the draft. But really, at this time, I can't really wrap my head around what they would essentially give up in order to move up a couple of spaces in this year's draft. That's obviously something that will probably formulate a little bit as we get closer to draft season. But it's certainly possible. I think the Broncos have, you know, salary cap in order to make some of these moves. They might want to offset a couple of contracts. There's always these possibilities. It just depends on who's ahead of you and what those teams need. And I think the Broncos are going to take a very aggressive stance in this year's offseason. They've already done it so far with the coaching hires. They're going to do it in free agency, from what I'm told, and in the draft. You know, they're already looking at Drew Lock from Missouri as one of their key guys. They've been there personally scouting him on his game. So, you know, and this term, and when we talk about him, you know, he's a guy that's really high on their radar right now compared to some other quarterbacks, and I think they might go with him. Now, do they go with him at number 10? I have no idea. You know, we could see him go defensive line with the 10th pick in the NFL draft this year, from what I'm being told. You know, especially with Vic Fangio's 3-4 defensive scheme, you got to have a really solidified nose tackle in there in the middle. That's the big question mark right now.
We're talking with Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Before we get into Coach Fangio and his staff, you got your report card in front of you. You've looked at all of the games this year. You're going to put a grade down on that paper for one Case Keenum. What would you come out with on his performance this season?
You know, that's a tough one, too, and I thought long and hard about it. You know, Case Keenum, we saw, you know, several games where he displayed, you know, a lot of interceptions early on in the season. He toned it down a little bit towards the end of the season, minus the last couple of games. Very aggressive, leading some game-winning drives and some impressive wins. There were some games where he didn't throw for over 200 yards, but the Broncos still won the game. So, you know, when I look at Case Keenum's performance, I factor in just the offensive inconsistencies. You know, you're losing a major playmaker in Emmanuel Sanders to injury. You trade away Demaryius Thomas. You have to rely essentially on a lot of young guys. I would grade Case Keenum's performance in 2017-2018 season more so as, you know, I'd probably say a C. I'd give him a C grade based on that. Now, can he play better? I absolutely think he can. I think really the Broncos went away last year from playing to the strengths of what we saw from Case Keenum. You go back to a successful year, 13-3 season in Minnesota NFC Championship, we saw Case Keenum on the go. He was better as a quarterback throwing while on the move compared to just being a drop back quarterback. And we saw that success in Minnesota. The Broncos tried to do some of it there. When he was able to, you know, sprint out and throw on the run, he did have success more so than he did on a 5-step drop. The Broncos' offensive line was better overall this season compared to years past. They still suffered a lot of, you know, inconsistencies at certain positions, some major injuries that obviously Matt Paradis, you know, so teams would just dial up the pressure on the interior and the edge, and that's hard as a quarterback when you got to drop straight back. You got to be able to move out of the pocket and make throws, and he just wasn't able to do that. And he also struggled with, you know, I'd say inconsistencies in determining going through his reads, his progressions. But I think Case Keenum does have the opportunity to improve his play, and we could see that in 2019. But the Broncos, regardless of how Case Keenum does in 2019, they have to bring in a quarterback this offseason, whether it be free agency, whether it be trade, whether it be draft, and they have to focus on developing that quarterback for the future. It's got to be a young guy. You can't keep reinventing the wheel every couple of years, and I think the Broncos finally understand that.
So they hire Vic Fangio, and matter of fact, they got their top two guys that were left for the head coaching position. One will be coming in as the O-line coach, Mike Munchak. Let me ask this question. Is this a coaching hire that was rushed by the Broncos? Because there are some other big names out there and more on the offensive side that could have came in and ran the Broncos. You're Vic Fangio, who has never been a head coach but has been around the NFL, even the old United States Football League. He's been around for a long time, so obviously he's paid his dues and he's seen a lot through the National Football League wars. But is this one that was rushed by the Broncos?
No, not at all. You know, it was a clear cut decision, and the moment they fired Vance Joseph in the press conference. Afterwards, John Elway and Joe Ellis met with the media, and they said, you know, our next head coaching candidate, we want to hire him. We want somebody who's really, really good at one thing. And when we take a look at the Denver Broncos right now, they struggled defensively. They struggled with culture. You know, realistically speaking, culture-wise, they're very young. Vance Joseph, you know, up in his upper 30s, they're not necessarily young, as we're seeing with the fever that everyone's looking for and the next Sean McVay. I mean, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. However, I go back to a couple of things here that really sold me with Vic Fangio. Over 30-plus years of coaching experience in the National Football League, 19 of them as a coordinator, you've been around some game plans. You know how to manage things. And when you look at Fangio's historical defenses, they've ranked top five. They've ranked number one, obviously, last year with the Chicago Bears. You look at what he's been able to do with some of those guys. And really, outside of Khalil Mack, they didn't have a lot of players on that defense in Chicago that were necessarily star-studded players. They were guys that were very good at fundamentals, which in his press conference, he mentioned, you know, you assign a position group their assignment, and then you work on fundamentals in that, and then they can carry it over and be great. That's what creates good players. I mean, if you ever coached at any level, you know that fundamentals are the key to the game. It doesn't matter how high-scoring offenses are. Yeah, we also got to think about it this way. The Bears almost, you know, Vic Fangio kind of created the formula defensively this year and almost broke the L.A. Rams towards the end of the year. You know, that big win that Chicago had Sunday Night Football, the defense played phenomenal for the Bears, and they got all over Jared Goff. I mean, they were everywhere over there forcing turnovers, scoring. I mean, it was like, okay, this high-scoring offense that everyone was talking about, the NFL has to evolve to it. Well, it's going to show you that old reliable fundamentals and defensive game planning by a guy by, you know, Vic Fangio, his experience, his knowledge, his expertise, that right there is hard to beat, hard to discount. And you know, holding the Rams under the amount of point totals that they did, that is what was special. And when you have a division with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, high-scoring offense, you have to have a guy like that as your head coach. And he's going to completely control the defense, call the defense, and orchestrate the management of this team. This was a very good hire for the Broncos. Outside of all the other candidates out there, I felt like this one was the one that made the most sense.
Well, like we mentioned as well, again, getting their man of Vic Fangio as head coach, but also, too, that second-tier candidate, or at least the other potential, Mike Munchak from the Pittsburgh Steelers, announced today that he will be joining Denver staff as the offensive line coach. Again, offensive line that's had issues. It certainly seemed like that last year, but give us your thoughts on this, at least, move with the Denver Broncos signing, at least getting their second man, Mike Munchak, now to run the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that often you see two NFL head coaching candidates that, you know, that were interviewed for the same job end up on the same exact staff together that year. You know, for Mike Munchak, a lot of it, he's got family in Denver. He wants to be a little bit closer to family. But also, you know, the Broncos are very, very high in him. They were really blown away by his interview. However, they were really uneasy whether or not he was going to be a head coaching candidate that they needed to keep the team relevant. He's a great O-line coach. We've seen him wherever he's went, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's Houston, whether it's, you know, going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's turned those offensive lines into a better product of what they used to be. Ben Roethlisberger used to experience so many different quarterback hits over the years, and that has drastically improved. You know, I can't even begin to say how much it's improved. We've seen, or it seems like Ben Roethlisberger has had so much time in the pocket to throw. He's eaten up so many defenses. So really, this is a good hire for the Broncos, who they really want to work on their young O-line. You got Billy Turner, you have Matt Paradise returning, possibly as an all-pro center. He's got to renegotiate his deal. I think Denver gets it done this offseason. And then you have Garrett Bowles, who's really kind of been the talk of the Broncos O-line and getting some stability there. Ron Leary, a left guard, coming off, you know, an Achilles. That's going to be a little bit of an obstacle for him this offseason, but all progress points to being good signs here. But really, that offensive line, the Broncos improved last year compared to what we saw in years past. But like I said, there's still some inconsistencies in terms of gap integrity. And Mike Munchak is a guy that will legitimately transform that O-line. If history has told us anything about where Mike Munchak has been in his offensive lines, things are looking up in the Broncos' favor, and they're being very, very aggressive this offseason.
So my final thought here, as we talk about filling out the coaches roster for the Broncos, noise has been heard out of Bronco camp and even as far west as Santa Clara that they're interested in talking to quarterbacks coach Rich Scangarello to be the offensive coordinator. Now, he's the quarterbacks coach for the 49ers. Now, if I understood right, initially the Niners said no, but John Lynch and Elway are pretty good friends, and they're still trying maybe to work out some details. So what are you hearing, Cody? What do you know?
Yeah, it's more than likely that Rich Scangarello is going to be the next offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. They like what he's been able to do down there with Nick Mullins this season, who essentially, you know, before that Thursday night football game, we had no idea who Nick Mullins was when they took on the Raiders. And absolutely, he just went off 3 touchdowns, and he, you know, his completion percentage was crazy. You look at the game against the Broncos know very well what that offensive mastermind piece can do alongside with Kyle Shanahan and what they do down there in San Francisco. They're very high on him. He's got a lot of discipline, a lot of attention to detail that, you know, coincides with the belief of what the staff wants for the organization going forward. It's looking more than likely he will be the guy. Initially, there were reports that the 49ers had blocked the Broncos from being able to interview him. I'm told that was just a minor thing. They worked around it. They talked about it, and he's now open to permission to interview, which he will do, and I would expect an announcement by tomorrow, the end of tomorrow, or even early on Wednesday morning. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on this week. But the Broncos want to solidify that their entire staff as soon as possible before the Senior Bowl. That way they can get some clear evaluations ready for the NFL draft and so forth.
Well, Cody, we want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Wyoming Sports Talk today. I'm looking at Nick. I would hope that we're going to try to catch up with you before the upcoming draft in April. And again, we want to thank you for your time this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All righty. Cody Rourke, host of the Locked on Broncos podcast, joining us this afternoon on 1480 K-Ray. Going to take a time out. We'll be right back with more here on 1480 K-Ray.